At the end of last month, we enjoyed that really fun Sunday right before Halloween when all the kids were trick-or-treating for UNICEF. They wore their costumes, and you filled their little orange boxes up with change, over $350 worth of change, as it turns out. Of course, most of the kids in our congregation know the drill. They've been through it several times. Fill the box, then leave it here in whatever spot Malia and Dee designate so that it can be counted by the financial secretary and then turned over to UNICEF. And UNICEF will use it to buy medicine and food and school supplies for children around the world who otherwise would be without those things. Most of the kids have done it before and they know how it works. However, this year we had at least one child who was having her first experience with trick-or-treat for UNICEF. And I came upon her that Sunday morning, a little before 10:30, sitting here in one of the pews, holding a very heavily weighted orange box in her lap. You had been generous, and she did a good job running around trick-or-treating. And so she had this full box of coins, and she had a very dismayed expression on her face. "I want to keep my money," she was saying to her father, who was gently explaining, "Sweetheart, the reason people gave it to you is so that you could use it to help other children." It was about the most perfect picture of what a challenge it is to learn to live the life of faith that I could ever hope to see. We've all been there, or it may be that that's even where we are right now. We've been running around expending energy in order to accomplish something. We have accumulated resources, which was the goal, and we're having a little trouble with the next step. We need guidance from a loving source, from someone more experienced and wiser than we are, someone that we can trust to help us see the truth and to do the right thing, even when it's hard. The father looked up and assured me, "Don't worry, she will be leaving the coin box here." We need someone who can lovingly remind us, you've been given these resources, whether the resources be time or talent or inner strength or financial capabilities, you've been given these resources so that you can do something good with them. This morning we're going to read from one of the letters in the New Testament, which is attributed to Paul. The thing I like most about the letters which Paul wrote to different little groups of Christians in various cities gathered around the eastern end of the Mediterranean Sea is that his love for the followers of Jesus and his desire to guide them wisely comes through loud and clear. Today we're going to read from Paul's letter to the Colossians, which begins, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father." If you'd like to follow along, we're in chapter 1, and I'm going to pick up reading at verse 3. "In our prayers for you, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for we've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. You've heard of this hope before in the word of the truth, the gospel that has come to you, just as it is bearing fruit and growing in the whole world, so it has been bearing fruit among yourselves from the day you heard it and truly comprehended the grace of God." In this letter, Paul is giving thanks for the dear people who received the gospel in the city of Colossus because they welcomed the grace and power of Christ so eagerly into their lives and were enthusiastic in their desire to be supportive of other communities like theirs. Paul observed that God was doing good things among them, which was, as far as he was concerned, cause for great joy. And now, as if he's a loving and attentive father or mentor or teacher to them, Paul is conveying to them that they have more to learn about how to live God's way, more to learn about how to know God, more to learn about how to grow in faith and be a source through which God's goodness can be expressed in the world. I'm going to continue now, starting with verse 9. For this reason, since the day we heard it, we have not ceased praying for you and asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may lead lives worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him as you bear fruit in every good work and as you grow in the knowledge of God. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from His glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience, while joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. Just as fathers and mothers right here in our congregation are teaching their sons and daughters about the joy of receiving and the joy of giving, so Paul was teaching the congregation in Colossus that they would need to lean on God for the wisdom and the understanding and the strength required for living Christ-like lives. He was teaching that when they live Christ-like lives, it gladdens God's heart. He was teaching them that the way to live bravely, generously, and gratefully was to remember the magnificent inheritance God bestows on God's children, referred to in this letter as saints in the light. Paul's words, of course, have been preserved all this time because they're understood to be applicable to us as well. We also are the beneficiaries of God's tremendous love and compassion. We also have been blessed with hope and God's mercy. We also have opportunity to grow ever more faithful and ever more true to God in how we live, and ever more productive in the kinds of words and deeds which bring nourishment and refreshment to God into the world on God's behalf. We can also then ourselves be glad for Paul's teaching and for Paul's prayers, which encourage us to keep challenging ourselves to learn more and to be more for the sake of Christ's work through us and among us. Truthfully, I can easily imagine Paul and his partners in ministry writing these words happily and honestly to you. We've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints. Pacific Beach United Methodist Church is a church that puts love into action so that God's love can be seen and recognized. Trick-or-treating for UNICEF each year is just one of a multitude of examples which could be mentioned. And because the gospel is already bearing fruit in you, I feel that I can take the risk of talking with you as Paul did with congregations of people that he taught and guided about ways that you could, if you choose, deepen and enrich your walk with God. The tool that I want to offer you today for spiritual growth and for strengthening our shared ministry is one which I received years ago in my youth from a bishop whose authority in the matter, based on his personal experience and his knowledge of the scripture, I respected greatly. It's a practice that I've followed since I first heard the bishop recommend it, and it's become a very integral part of my attempt to live as a follower of Jesus. You'll find it in your program. It's a little card that says, "Give to Live." It's an estimate of giving card. Here's how I fill mine out. Since I receive a paycheck once a month, I calculate 10% of that amount and write it on the line next to the words "monthly" for 12 months. I use that line because my habit is that each month, after my monthly salary is deposited into my bank account, the first check I write is to the church. To get the 12-month total, I do the obvious and multiply that amount times 12. Those who give weekly or quarterly would use those lines and do the math accordingly. I use 10% as my giving guideline because it's an amount that appears often in the Bible as a foundational amount that God's people are asked to release in gratitude for God's goodness and in dedication to God's purposes. Some people give a higher or a lower percentage. Some prefer to use some other gauge for establishing a dollar amount. For me, it's important to give enough that I really notice what I'm doing, and it causes me to say to God every time that I write that check, thank you for all that you have given me, for everything you've given me. This part is leaving my hands and my control completely and being given to your church, God, as a sign of my trust in you and my desire that you will be able to work freely in my life and in the world. I write checks because I'm sort of old school in that regard. My daughters, who are 26 and 24, I think hardly ever write checks. They don't have a checkbook because it's all electronic in their world. And indeed, in our church, about a quarter of the givers do, in fact, transmit their gifts electronically. This can be set up through a service that the financial secretary can tell you about, or it can be accomplished through the donation page on our church's website. Other people prefer to give cash, and still others donate stock, and the church is set up to receive those gifts as well. Each of us can then find our choice reflected on the other side of this card and circle the one that we choose to use. I put my name and my contact information on the card, even though I'm pretty sure the financial secretary could find me if he wanted to, so that I can receive a quarterly report of giving, which helps me to remember and to celebrate God's faithfulness in helping me to fulfill my intentions, and also which at some point might be useful for tax or other financial planning purposes. Once I filled it out, I bring it here to be placed in the offering plate and dedicated to God's service. I've done this, or something very much like it, every year for 30 years. For me, the point of giving is to express my thanks to God and to demonstrate my trust in God. A benefit of releasing money to God is that what I give gets translated into ministry, which spreads the light of Christ. The point of planning my giving is that planning increases the probability that I'm going to actually do what I mean to do. It's just like if I said I wish I would read the Bible every day. My chance of actually following through on that intention is going to be a lot higher if I make a plan for exactly which Bible I'm going to use and what chair I'm going to sit in and at what time of day I'm going to do my reading and how I'm going to ask for help in making sure that I am not interrupted during that time. The plan becomes an avenue through which God and I can work together. I estimate my giving and follow through on my giving plan each year primarily because it enhances and strengthens my relationship with God. And that's why I recommend it to you, is because I believe the practice will enhance and strengthen your relationship with God. We all get bonus satisfaction by knowing that the information we share on these cards, once our names are detached from them by the financial secretary, this information helps the leaders of our church plan and helps all of us carry out Christ's ministry as God would have it unfold in this place. We always, always have new and exciting opportunities before us, and knowing that funds are available and will be available to pursue those opportunities means that we can confidently move forward in the joy of getting to be part of something that's growing and thriving. One of the goals that surfaced among us this year, in recognition of the good work of our youth ministry coordinator, and seeing that that good work has contributed to an increase in young people among us, one of the goals that surfaced is to step up our support for youth ministry with a significant raise in hours and salary for the youth ministry coordinator. Should these cards, completed by all of us and with the totals added together, reveal that the church can look forward to at least a 10% increase in overall giving this next year, then the goal of an expanded youth ministry position, as well as our other ministry goals, will be clearly achievable. Wouldn't that be a joyful thing to celebrate? would certainly be evidence, as Paul so eloquently put it, that the gospel is bearing fruit among us, and we have truly comprehended the grace of God. Just like the beloved children in our midst, we also are learning to live the life of faith more fully and freely. We make use of the tools, whether they be little orange boxes or cream-colored estimate of giving cards, and we rely on the mentoring available to us in order to help us in this intent to live the life of faith more fully and freely. And as we do so, we can make Paul's prayer our own. May we be filled with the knowledge of God and of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. May we live lives worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him in every way. May we be made strong with the strength that comes from God's glorious power. May we endure with patience whatever needs enduring. May we give thanks always and with deep joy to God, who welcomes us eternally into Christ's realm of light and love. Sometimes, O God, our hearts are just too full for words. We trust you today to receive our gratitude, however we are able to express it. We trust you to know our needs for healing and for hope and for guidance. We trust you to move among us with grace and love. And we trust that you will teach us to live in a way that honors you. May the estimate of giving cards, the financial contributions, and the gifts of time and talent offered today and in the week to come bring you joy, O God. We join now in the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.